Okay, we're continuing our messages on heaven. The first message was an introduction. The second message we looked at, that was last week, we looked at heaven or hell, which way, which place? Which place is it going to be for you when we pass on? And so we looked at the idea that everybody has to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to deal with their sin problem. They have to make that decision for Christ. And there's two places of eternal destiny. One is heaven and one is hell. And that was our message from last week. This week, we're going to take more of a different approach. We're going to be looking at the idea of, and this is a question that we all have. You think about heaven and you say, well, okay, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. I mean, there's many passages of Scripture that deal with that idea. I mean, it happens all the time. We read through the Bible and we hear this place, you know, the eternal destiny for the believers. But we're going to look at that place compared to when the end of the world comes. And Jesus comes back and he judges all nations and he judges every person. And that end of the world, the second coming of Jesus. What about that? Is there any differences? We're going to look at kind of the there is some very small differences between those two concepts. So we are going to look again at the intermediate place. And I know the hour is late, so I'm going to make this as concise as I possibly can. There are a lot of verses we'll be looking at again this week. But the present or intermediate heaven. So we talk about heaven a lot, and we say, hey, I'm on my way. When we go to a funeral of a believer, we say, hey, he's going to heaven. She's going to heaven. And we think about our loved ones. We think about our believing friends, and we think, well, they're in heaven. Well, there's some different views about what that state is like, but I'd like just to present to you what the Bible says about it. What does the Bible tell us about when we move on? So let's look at some verses. The first thing I'd like to do is look at the nature of the present heaven. And nature, what I mean is just what is it like, and give some details that the Scripture gives us about what is it like. So let's take a look, number one, that it is temporary. Philippians 1:23, and if you want to follow along, I'm going to be moving pretty quickly. I'm going to put most of the verses up on the screen, if hopefully you can see in the back, but if you'd like to follow along. Philippians 1, chapter 23, that's, if you know 1:21, that's for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's Paul saying, hey, I struggle with whether I should be wanting to live in this life or just want to go to heaven right now. He got close to martyrdom many times. Maybe if he'd been a little bit more violently in his resistance, they would have taken him earlier. But he knew he had responsibilities for the Lord on this earth, and he was excited about the opportunity to share the gospel with the Roman world. He was a great missionary, went all over the Roman world, preached the word, and many got saved. Thousands got saved, if not tens of thousands. The whole Roman world owes the gospel spread throughout that part of the world to the Apostle Paul. So he's like, man, Lord, I live on this world. I have this battle because I want to go to heaven. He was like Reepicheep. I'm ready to go. He had that attitude. And for us, we look at our own lives, and the younger we are, I think the less we're ready to go. And that makes sense. I was just thinking that makes a lot of sense. It does. It makes a lot of sense. My 75-year-old grandfather, until I think he passed away when he was 78 or something, those last years of his life, he couldn't wait to go to heaven. He was ready. He studied all the books about heaven. I mentioned that last week. So it's a difficult thing. But here he's talking about, I want to be with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 17, and 8, and these whole verses, let's take a look at them. They give us this idea about what's going to happen and the end times, but it also gives us a a picture about what's going to happen when we die. It says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. They sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the sky. Let's see if I got it chopped off the rest of the verse there. I guess I did. To meet the Lord in the air. Now, this picture, if you look at it, makes it sound like this, doesn't it? That when we die, we fall asleep. And we don't wake up until Jesus comes back at the rapture. That's what we hear, isn't it? When you read this passage and you don't think of any other part of the Bible, that's what you see, right? We are asleep and we wake up. But there's too many other places in the Bible where, like even Paul says, I'm ready to go be with Christ right away. That doesn't mean I go into this dead sleep for 100, 500 years, maybe 1,000 years. For believers that were saved 2,000 years ago. Now, there is a teaching out there. The Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches this. That we sleep when we die. And we stay asleep until Jesus comes back. I'm going to make a comment about that. I think I get to it later on, but I'll just make my comments on that. That is not the doctrine that is the problem for that church. They have a salvation formula that's very difficult and more of a works kind of salvation. That's their biggest problem. They believe in Jesus, they believe in the cross, they believe in a lot of wonderful things, but they have some difficulties with how, the plan of salvation and grace. For by grace are you saved. They struggle with that. They don't teach that correctly. But the problem with soul sleep is what they call it. That's not a big deal, in my opinion. I mean, I don't believe it. I think it's totally wrong. Because I think when I die, I'm going to meet Jesus. Man, I'm going to see his face. Amen. I shall see him face to face, as the song says. There's too many verses in the Bible that teach that. Let's look at a couple others. It's going to be better by far than this world. When we die, we'll go to the temporary intermediate heaven. Then when Christ returns, the tribulation is completed, then we'll be in the eternal heaven. That's the formula here. Yeah, if you see on the front of your bulletin, this is what I think the Bible teaches. There is that intermediate place. But I don't know if we're really going to know the difference that much. We're still going to be with Jesus. But when he comes back, there's going to be a few changes, a little bit different things happen. But as a believer, we care about our eternal destiny, and so we must have that in mind and look at that kind of as a one thing. The eternal heaven is also called the new earth and the new heaven. That's the eternal heaven. So there's the temporary place that I not tons of details about that. And then there's the new heaven and the new earth, which happens here in Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 3, and I saw a new heaven. This is John. God's giving this vision of heaven. He saw heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Now that's talking about this earth. And that's what's going to happen. This is all going to be burned up and the new earth will be new. It'll be different. It'll be heaven on earth. Truly. Goes on, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So it's almost like, you know, if you think about it, we always think of heaven as up. And all the references, that the up is true. That's a good understanding of when we die, we're going to go up. We're going to be with God in heaven, somewhere up there. I don't know exactly what that means, but we know it's up. But here it says, the new heaven and the new earth. I can't get into all the details. I don't want to confuse you with too many. After the tribulation, and then the new heaven and the new earth come down to the millennial period on earth. There's some other things that happen. Here it's saying it's coming down to earth. That's the picture. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So many years I never thought of that. That's what it says here. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The new heaven and the new earth. After that intermediate time with God. After we die. Should we call the new earth heaven? Yes, anywhere God dwells should be considered heaven. So you were saying, Pastor Craig, well, maybe we should come up with a different name. Maybe we should say, I'm going to paradise. That's a word that's used a lot for the intermediate time. No, we should just say heaven. Heaven is with God. It's with God. You say, man, where's your eternal destiny? It's heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's heaven. And he showed me a pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. God's going to be there. The throne of God is there. There's this river of life. And I don't, wow, that's crazy. It's beyond my imagination type things that are happening up there. We'll discuss that later on in some of the other messages. Would God come down to live with us on the earth? John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me and he will keep my words and my Father will love him, and we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. If we are in Christ, he will live in heaven. He will be there. Yes, he'll come down to live with us on this earth. The intermediate heaven is up. The eternal heaven is down here. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We will be conscious after death. Another concept that we should consider. And this goes against that kind of soul sleep idea. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Lazarus and the rich man. How do we know that we're going to be conscious and not soul sleep as has been taught by some churches? Now, this is a parable. You could call it a parable, but it's not really a parable. Some people would call it a parable. It's a story. It's a parable in that it's a story. But most would say these are real characters. This is a real story. Some people say, no, it's all just figurative. There is nothing true about this. It's very small, so if you want to find it in your Bibles, you can. I'm going to go ahead and read through it. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So this rich man is in hell. He lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger, the beggar, in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. They would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Couple requests that we've heard, right? Give me a drop of water. So thirsty in hell. And then he says, can you tell them to go back and tell all my brothers so they don't have to come here too? It's kind of interesting because have you heard people say, man, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be there with my buddies. I'll have a great time. Well, here, he didn't really think about that. His best friends, his brothers, please don't have them come here too, is what he says. But Abraham saith to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. The one rose from the dead. They didn't hear already. They should have heard the message of the gospel. They should have heard it, and they refused to accept it. And even if I did send anybody, it was going to work. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a physical place. And they have physical bodies that are represented here. The thief on the cross, Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He'll be there in paradise with God, with a body. Yes, there's spiritual aspects to that body, but it's still a person. And then we bring up that Philippians 1:23, for I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, Paul said. He was ready to go on. There is no soul sleep. And if we get into that, back to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And if you look at the, if you look up that word sleep, this is the Greek dictionary. It's to put to sleep, that is actually fall asleep, slumber, but figuratively, to decease. So he's talking about physical bodies being dead here is what he's talking about. The physical body that's dead is what he's talking about. So that you can't really take that verse the way that some do. The physical sleeps and the spiritual part relocates to a conscious existence in heaven, Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, come some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they turn many to righteousness, the stars forever and ever. And it gives us that idea that we're going to move on. As soon as we die, we'll be with God. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 5:8-11. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's no sleeping going on. There's no 500 years or 1,000 or 1,500 years waiting. For we must all appear, and he goes on with more in that passage. We'll be judged when we die. Another thing to consider as we look at the nature of that state. The first judgment is the judgment of faith when we die. It is the great white throne of judgment. That's the one, whether we're saved or we're not saved. It is based on what Christ did, not what we did, right? We are saved through Jesus' blood and his substitutionary work on the cross. It's not something that we can do. It's what Jesus did. And so the great white throne, have we accepted Jesus? Have we accepted what he did? Don't confuse this judgment with the final judgment. The final judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is a judgment of works. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. I don't have 2 Corinthians 5:10, but let's look there. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is not the judgment for salvation. This is not the judgment whether we're going to be in heaven or hell. This is the judgment of what we have done for Jesus on this earth. So make sure you understand two judgments that we should be concerned with. Great white throne of judgment, is your lamb found? Is your name found in the Lamb's book of life? And if you've believed in Jesus and you're saved, then yes, it is there. And the judgment seat of Christ is based on those things that we've done. And it's not like, I heard this one time from a preacher and later on he apologized. I said, I didn't really mean that. He said, it's not like we're going to see all the horrible things that we've done at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be like, yeah, you sin like this, you sin like this. No, it's going to be what we have done for Jesus. We may have some regrets in our minds at the judgment seat of Christ, that we could have done more, that we refused to obey God and do everything that he wanted us to do. There may be some regrets at the judgment seat of Christ, so we do all we can, ladies, brothers and sisters in Christ. We do what we can to serve him. So we'll be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And it talks about getting rewards from God because of those things. And again, the unbelieving one is the great white throne and him that sat on it. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged. That's the judgment seat of Christ. We need to make sure we're in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 20. Angels take on human form. Be not forgetful. The present heaven is a physical place. Now, there's spiritual aspects to it. I don't think I emphasized that earlier. And we go to heaven, it's going to be different. We're going to have spiritual bodies. But we're going to be able to recognize each other. So we'll have some physical characteristics. Angels take on human form. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. There is an idea that physical is bad, spiritual is good, and some people have that idea that everything is spiritual. We're going to be totally different. But no, we're going to be able to recognize each other. Hebrew teaches this. Heaven is physical. Hebrews 8:5, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showeth to thee in the mount. 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And then going on, in 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. This is a physical place. Yes, there's spiritual aspects to it. But in heaven, it's a place, not just some idea. The earthly sanctuary was a copy of the true one in heaven. Hebrews 12:22. Is this a physical New Jerusalem? Hebrews seems to say that we should see earth as a derivative realm and heaven as a source realm. Let's look at that verse, Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So it's this giant place, heaven, and the earth comes from it, in a sense, is what we're talking about here. Does the term paradise suggest a physical place? Luke 23:43, and Jesus said in him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So that word paradise suggests a physical place as well. It's many would say it's almost like a reference to Eden. Ezekiel 28:13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And he goes on, he talks about Eden in this amazing description. Revelation 2:7, he that had led him, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Tree of life will be in the New Jerusalem. Very similar. After the fall of God, drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So the New Jerusalem will, in a sense, it's like the Garden of Eden perfected. People have intermediate bodies in the present heaven. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under after the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. These are people in that intermediate place. Philippians 1:21, Revelation 9:10 talks about that as well. So we have there, yes, there will be bodies, his intermediate bodies. And we also see Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ from the intermediate heaven. And then I'm going to finally end on this. I know time is waning here, so I want to keep focused here. I want to go back to the rich man and Lazarus. That's evidence for the physicality of the present heaven. So that last point, when we die, we're going to go to two places as we talked about last week. It's heaven or hell. It's what we do with Jesus that counts, whether we're in that place. There is no intermediate state. There's nothing about purgatory in the scripture. We can't work ourselves out of purgatory. So we need to make sure about our eternal destiny. We need to be sure about what we do with Jesus. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. Man, it's not good. Hell is not good. Bring me a drop of water, it said. Just bring me a drop of water. That's all I need. That's how bad it was. That's how thirsty he was in hell. And then he said, will you tell the story to everybody you know? Tell the story. that I said no to God. Talk to my brothers. Tell them about Jesus, in a sense. It's a different way of thinking it because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Tell them about Jesus. That's us, though, today, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this story. Think about, hey, he said, can you send someone to go? Abraham, would you go? Would you send Lazarus? Would you go? And would you come back from the dead and tell the story? That's not the way it works. We're here today. We can tell the story of the prophets. We can tell the story of Jesus. So that people are going to go to heaven. My challenge last week, that was for you, the believers. We need to tell the story of Jesus. Amen. And look around you. Your loved ones, your family members, people that don't know Jesus, are you telling them about this story? Heaven is great. It's a great place. It's a wonderful place. And it's for the believer. We need to tell the story so that we'll see those folks there in heaven with us. They'll go to that intermediate place, and then in the resurrection, when Jesus comes back, we'll live on in the heaven and the new earth, the new heaven and the new earth, and it'll be glorious. And it'll be eternal. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The same challenge from last week to this week. Maybe there's somebody here who says, Pastor Craig, I have not made that decision for Jesus. Of believing on his work on the cross of Calvary. When he went to the cross, he shed his blood and he died, and he did it for my sin. And I have never made that decision for Jesus in believing in Christ and taking him as my Savior. And you say, Pastor Craig, I'd like to do that today. I'm not sure about my eternal salvation, and I want to take care of that today. If that's you, please lift up your hand. I'd like to pray for you. May not be anybody that needs that right here. Maybe we have believers. But if you have any doubts whatsoever, raise your hand. We can talk afterwards. Anyone like that? I'd like to make sure about my eternal salvation. Anyone like that? I know I challenged you last week, and some people made that commitment to be a better witness of heaven. Maybe there's someone here who says, Pastor Craig, please pray for me that I would be a better witness for heaven. I would be a witness for heaven this week. Maybe you can think of just one person you could share this with. And if you'd like prayer for that, just lift up your hand. I'd like to pray for some of you. I see a couple of hands. Several. Thank you. Lord, give us opportunities. I put myself in this invitation as well. Give us opportunities to share about the eternal, literal place called hell. Yes, Heavenly Father, it is a spiritual place, but our bodies will be able to recognize each other, the Bible says. We're going to be there with the believers. Lord, may we have opportunity to share the wonderful gospel which leads to heaven. Help us, Lord. May we be intentional in that, looking for opportunities to share the glorious message of Jesus. Yes. Help us, Lord, to take these truths and make a difference this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.